Mary Oliver, poet. I get the impression that there were demons that lived in her house. They lived in her parents, and they rattled and rumbled. And so she retreated to the woods, where she foraged for food and found nourishment in nature. That the woods themselves be her mother and her father, be the parent that could teach her a life beyond the suffering of an insufficient childhood. There have always been the spirits that take over the body and mind, or that speak the tantalizing words of addiction and project harm outwardly because of the chaos inside. It has nowhere else to go. Miraculously, it is in the woods that Mary Oliver found her refuge in words, scribbling the collection of thoughts that would continue to spill forth from her life as a life's work on a nature walk, endless tromps on beaches and roadways in the brambles and in the thickets, on walks with words that wind into many of our hearts. For some of us don't admit how much poetry can meet us and tend to us. Mary herself had said that poetry is a gift to anybody who has a hunger for it. She said, "I saved my own life tending, finding a place that wasn't in that house. That was my strength. But I wasn't all strength. Poetry is a pretty lonely pursuit." Jesus. Jesus did the same thing, this act of saving grace, retreating from the wilderness until he needed to come back and offer wisdom. But he was less subtle from what we can see biblically, going after the most visible needs so that all could see the power of being released from the most horrible things, so that those who would retreat to their private hells in their homes would have the sweet taste of a freedom from captivity because they saw the demon come from the man, the one who was known to the village, perhaps Mickey or Melinda or Drunken Dan or a schizophrenic homeless person, a tortured one who has had previously roamed the streets, raving, now uninhabited, quiet now, except perhaps to tell a story of what it means for Jesus to take the pain away with him. What if Jesus could just take the pain away? Don't you think his words were like poetry to those who listened? Haven't his words, as cobbled together as they may be, been the perplexing and haunting and healing retreat of countless wanderers? Yes. Jeremiah. And centuries before, when the world was beginning to crack around the people Israel, there sat Jeremiah, facing his daunting task. Perhaps there were demons who tried to convince him otherwise. The call story, as we heard it from Bethany. It's the familiar language of Psalm 129 that assures the knowing comfort of a creator who sculpted us and smoothed from very beginning our furrowed fetal brows, Z who formed us for a purpose. Fully literate and trained when he came into prophecy, Jeremiah is the voice box of resistance, a prophet who persists and watches his people fall away. We can imagine that he comes back to the passage himself, this call story, time and time again in order to remember, to find the courage to forge ahead when he is weary and limping, when he is depressed and despairing, when he sees his homeland slipping away to foreign forces, the worry that ancestral memory will die with the elders. How many times would Jeremiah have questioned his call as his kinspeople cast aspersions on him? No one wants to hear his news. Before the end of his 40 years of prophecy, he was left in a pit to starve. Would he hear the poetry of the Spirit from his call? "Don't be afraid of them. I'm here to rescue you." Echoed then as he was pulled out of the pit of death, to continue his mission and ministry. That poetry, as it nourished and fed his soul. Mary Oliver again tells us poetry is a life-cherishing force, for poems are not words after all, but fires for the cold, ropes let down to the lost, as something as necessary as bread in the pockets of the hungry. So many must have thought Jeremiah mad as he railed and portended the gloomy future. There is a madness in it, this caring about community so deeply. Perhaps it is because God cares for us so deeply, too deeply even, about how creation unfolds and the decisions that destroy and demolish, or that we can be a part of in the seeking to build and to plant. Both the words of Jeremiah and Jesus confronted evil. They hold up hope for those seeking justice and those who would otherwise be lost to our systems of intolerance, wealth, and status. They dare to claim the peoples out of syncness with the heart of creation. And the prophets may call out even now if we have the ears to hear them. They draw upon the testaments of venerable people who believed in the good of this world and what we are capable of. As Mary has died just in this past month, I went back to do a little foraging in 2018. Names that we may know or not know in the poetry of our hearts and souls as a people that come because venerable people lived and shared themselves with us, emerged from dark houses of gloom and the demons that they faced both internally and outwardly to give something of themselves and to bring us hope for resistance. One such name was Intozake Shange, who among many things wrote for colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough, who spoke into the forces of racism and sexism entrapping black women and about what binds us all in systems of violence. She died in October in Bowie, Maryland. For Aretha Franklin, who sang full-heartedly into the tortured worlds of our segregation with a resounding call for respect and social change, her voice rolls on in the sinews of our spirit. For Stephen Hawking and his genius, he plumbed the depths of physics and provided us pathways into understanding our broader existence. He could have just been quiet, but mechanically and beautifully, he found us. Mary Oliver, poet, died January. Each of these had brought some element of the sacred to human meaning. Wherever they landed in our own traditions and spiritual discoveries, they have led us onward. They are seemingly other in their brilliance, and yet the seeds of their humanity dictate that we can be found in them too, that community is madness. Or how do we dare to be vulnerable with each other? To come alive and to allow the best elements of ourselves to be on display and to allow the not so good elements of ourselves to be on display. To join Jeremiah and Jesus, who speak from their historical times and space and continually miraculously find us here. I imagine poetry-type readings of the faithful. I came to the Little Patuxent Review at Barbara's invitation the other day, and there were so many from the community that were standing in this very spot and speaking of their hells. They were talking about all the ways in which, because of bias and because of discrimination and because of harm that had been offered in some way or other, that they found a way of triumphing and finding the words to tell their story, not only writing it on paper, but actually coming up and speaking it out loud in front of people. They were terrified. And they were in a room of people that had time and time again chosen to do the very same thing, to come outside of themselves and to say that they were worthy of being out there and that what they had to say was worthy of being heard. I imagine the early poetry readings for when you read scripture early on, it wasn't something you did privately with your Bible at home. It was something to be shared in community. And I love the idea that those who would be hearing Jeremiah and Jesus, that it would be an elixir for their hurting. A pause from daily work and a promise of the God who cares for creation unto madness, who calls forth demons, who dares to touch the unclean, who situates each one of us in the family of things. That's perhaps a piece of what it means to follow Jesus. Or maybe for you to admire him from afar. As one in the crowd who witnessed the demon leave the man in Capernaum, many may have gone back to their home wondering the remainder of their days whether what they saw was true and whether it could be true for him or for her too. So there was Jeremiah and there was Jesus and there was Mary Oliver. I love that that's a triumvirate. And although memories that haunted home life would remain at some level of consciousness for Mary, it was her poetry that declared time and time again that she was formed for something else, to speak love to thousands, to put in only the way her words could form the beauties that she saw on the sand and in the air, and the gnarled way that God can use even the demons to bring out a different kind of legacy. A legacy that leaves us with a charge to confront the demons that we meet. Or if it is altogether too much, to walk away into the woods, away from whatever would assail us, and to keep walking farther and farther until we happen into the heart of a community that can mirror back for us our beauty. That we might be beautiful together in ways that the world so desperately needs. That we might allow the demons to speak their peace and stir our status quo and to be released on their way, that we might all seek peace. That we might join Mary Oliver in her salvation as it emerged from that house. And maybe like she did, read Rumi every day. Sometimes madness is deep love. For she says, I got saved by poetry and by the beauty of this world.